This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition, presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL Radio Broadcast Partners. And here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. Ahead, Matthew Barzal continues to tear it up since returning from World Juniors. 15 points the last four games. Named the WHL Player of the Week, he'll join us in moments. WHL teams continue to pay their respects at the newly erected Four Broncos Memorial. It's located just east of Swift Current. We'll take a closer look. And a new book is out profiling WHL radio broadcasters. I'll talk to the author, Gordon Hunter. First up, Matthew Barzal in his last season in the WHL continues to put up some big numbers. The WHL Player of the Week with 15 points in four games last week to help the Thunderbirds go 4-0. And Matt, obviously a massive week for you and the team. You guys are really gaining momentum here in the second half.
Yeah, it's been good. The second half we've been playing really well and haven't even hit our peak yet. So we've had a bunch of injuries and we're still finding a way to win. So it's a character to our team and I really like the direction the team's heading in right now.
You say haven't hit your peak yet. Is that because of injuries? Maybe a second line center like a Scott Ensor not in your lineup right now?
Yeah, exactly. We just really haven't been able to find a full roster lately. We've been still playing well and working hard and winning hockey games, but I think with those added pieces, Vulcan back in the lineup, Wedman, Ensor, of course, that'll just strengthen everything. That's almost our second line. So it's it'll be great to get those guys back, but in the meantime, I think we're playing well and everybody's working hard.
Of those 15 points, six came against a rival Portland in a wild 8-5 game. And again, it's that line yourself, Ryan Gropp and Keegan Kolesar, getting it done. Let's go back to that big game there on the weekend.
Yeah, it was a fun game to be a part of. Obviously, it was a little different game than maybe what we're used to. We're used to kind of tighter hockey games, but yeah, it just kind of shows we can win and play in whatever kind of atmosphere that the other team wants to play. They started scoring goals, so obviously we had to too, so it's just good for our line to get some big goals and some key goals. But at the end of the day, everybody's pushing right now and everybody's playing well, so it's making it easy on my line with Ryan and Keegan.
I had a conversation with your coach back at the beginning of the season, and he said something. If you were to come back from the NHL for this season here, that you said something like, if I come back, we're gonna win it all. Let's win it all. How confident are you in the T-Birds' chances to be a championship contender, considering the fact that you went all the way to the league championship series last year?
I wouldn't say we're looking that far ahead. I don't think saying we're going to win the Western Conference or win the league something appropriate right now. There's some real good high-end hockey teams, in especially in the Western Conference, and we haven't even really seen what our team can do with a full lineup yet. So, of course, that's the goal, is to win the league. But right now we're focusing on just a big 3-3 this weekend, and more short-term goals than anything long-term.
How do you feel, World Juniors, mentally and physically? You played a lot in that tournament. You're playing in Seattle. I'm not sure what the stopwatch would say, but maybe 22, 24 minutes a night. How much energy do you have? How do you feel here for the stretch run?
I feel good. I mean, it's pretty funny. I think whenever anyone brings up energy levels in the WHL, I kind of just kind of laugh. It's like we're a bunch of 16, 17, 19-year-olds. I don't think energy is really a problem.
Well, that's a good point. Finally, I think back to your time in the league, and I think at 15 I spoke with you right after you were drafted by the T-Birds first overall in the Bantam draft. Now that, the sun is setting on your WHL career, when you look back, what has the league meant for you? How has your experience been? How has the whole WHL 4 years been for you and your development?
Been great. I've had a heck of a time, and so I've been lucky to be blessed with such good teammates down here in Seattle and such good friends that I've made over the course of 4 years. And obviously being on good teams helps too. So in terms of a hockey player, I think, playing 72 games a year, can really benefit you. I think, you ultimately get better playing more games and trying new things and stuff. And obviously I have a coach with Steve who's made me accountable and, who's pushed me to my limits. So I think I've developed well and, yeah, just, you know, championship would be nice.
All right, well, you guys are rolling, no doubt, in the second half here as you battle for top spot in the U.S. division with Everett. Matthew, thanks for doing this, by the way. It's going to be a great run here down the stretch with all these teams in the Western Conference, and you guys are right in the mix. Congratulations on being the WHL Player of the Week. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
Teams from the Western Hockey League continue to pay their respects to the newly formed Four Broncos Memorial, which is located east of Swift Current on the Trans-Canada Highway. Several teams have stopped by the roadside pullout where the Four Broncos died in the Bronco bus crash 30 years ago. Trent Cressy, Scott Kruger, Chris Mantica, and Brent Ruff. The monument was spearheaded by Bill Lee, who goes back years in the community. He helped raise funds and secure the land just off the highway.
When I unveiled that, I could just feel my weight lifting off my shoulders. I looked around and I saw a lot of the faces in the crowd. I could see tears, I could see smiles. Those boys out there now, when people go there, I know they're going to feel like me. They're going to say, this is a wonderful project.
Randy Ruff, the brother of Brent, says it's a nice tribute.
Can't say enough words, you know, about it, and the tribute to the four players certainly brought back memories of 86. And I'm, you know, most certain that all families are very proud of what's out there on the highway.
Father Chris Cressy.
Something like that just doesn't pop up overnight. It takes a lot of hard work, a lot of volunteers, and a lot of money. And can't say enough about Bill and all the volunteers. They did a wonderful job.
Al Stewart is the Broncos governor and says the four-leaf clover logo with the numbers 8, 9, 11, and 22 will forever be part of Bronco and Western Hockey League history.
I'm not sure that everybody really understands what the four-leaf clover means, though. We will never, ever retire a number for fear that it would diminish those four. This is all the jerseys that will ever be retired, and that's the symbol.
The granite monument, shaped in a four-leaf clover, is located just a few kilometers outside the city along the Trans-Canada Highway. This past December 30th was the 30th anniversary of the Broncos bus crash.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by the Western Hockey League.
Professor Emeritus Gordon Hunter in Lethbridge has written a book entitled Hockey Talk, Stories Behind the Voice. It profiles 49 junior league broadcasters, 13 of which from the Western Hockey League. I spoke to Gordon about writing his book.
Picture yourself, you're broadcasting a game, and you know, a particular player has the puck, and you give some background about that particular player, where they're from, how long they've been with the team, where else they might have played, whether they've been drafted or not yet. So you give some background. But what we as listeners don't get is the background of the actual play-by-play broadcaster. And so that was the main reason I thought I would do the book, is to get some of the stories behind the voice, as the subtitle is. And so that's, you know, talking about your life, your background, whether or not you played hockey. I note that you were a goalie as well. And so it's those kinds of stories that I wanted to get into.
This must have been a project that, you know, you conducted 49 interviews or had some help with some of the broadcasters write their chapter for you. But this has been a project that's been, you know, this has been a couple years in the making here.
It's almost two full years, yeah, from the first person, Cam Moon, and the Red Deer Rebels. He submitted his chapter first, and he was reminding me the other day that it's pretty close to 2 years since he did that.
Did anything of a theme that continued to come up, besides maybe the goaltender theme that you mentioned?
Yeah, there was a desire for you to continue to be involved in hockey in some way. So you realize you reached, you know, your highest level of participation, but you wanted to become involved or continue to be involved in some way. The idea of telling the story about what's going on the ice seemed to emerge. And also, because you're, you know, traveling with the team and everything, there's a feeling of belonging that the play-by-play broadcasters get.
You've also had some help from some national play-by-play voices, as far as maybe a foreword or also maybe a quick line you can use on the back of your book. Tell me about some people that have helped out here.
Yeah, Chris Cuthbert has written the foreword to the book, and that's been extremely helpful. On the back of the book, we have Dennis Bayak, who's the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN. He also does some World Junior and World Championships. And also Dan Robertson, who's the voice of the Montreal Canadiens. So, again, it's just, you know, those renowned fellows that are contributing a little bit to the publicity of the book.
This is a process, I'm sure, to try to get it into bookstores or try to make it available. So how do people listening here find a copy of this and help out?
There's two ways. One way is to deal locally with guys like John Keane. And so I have asked you to make some connections with some of the local bookstores. Some of the other play-by-play broadcasters that I've talked to in the last couple of days have said they have a swag shop at the rink, and they're going to put some books in that particular location. The other alternative is to get on the internet and go to the University of Lethbridge bookstore and do a search on Hunter or the title of the book, Hockey Talk, and that will get you to a place where you can buy the book online. Cost of the book, $34.99 plus GST, and $4 from each book will go to Kidsport Canada.
Hockey Talk, Stories Behind the Voice by Gordon Hunter. He's our guest here.
And that's the show. I want to say thanks to our guests this week, Matthew Barzell and author Gordon Hunter, for spending some time with us. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL Radio Broadcast Partners, a production of NL Broadcasting Limited, Kamloops, British Columbia.